there's power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you our evil of victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Oh, yes, there's power, power.
He Abides, page 139, and only believe.
He Abides.
Amen. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this very way for the hand of God. Life I see, yes, the reason for my bliss, yes, the secret all exists, that the comforter abides in me. Oh, he abides. My heart was full of sin. Once I had no peace within. Till I heard how Jesus died on the tree. Then I fell down at his feet. And there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides in.
Bye.
just as free. For the Spirit has control, and Jesus satisfies my soul. Now the Comforter abides in me.
About what all God does for me, and I just wanted to say thank you. And looking at those pictures up there of Doug and Pastor, I'm just so proud that that's my husband, you know. And I just want to just glad I'm here.
Amen.
I've had this song on my heart for a while, and I checked it out a couple times. Feel the urge again, so
amen.
I want to obey God. So,
amen.
This
amen.
Is a song that Brother Isaiah and I'm singing. I really love that song, and it's I Sing Praises, amen. And I'm gonna do it in the key of F.
All right.
So.
church. It's nothing like sitting on the hot seat while you're waiting on the brother to play a beautiful song. I couldn't even change my mind. It's so good to be back. One thing when you go away, what I kind of reflected on is everybody doesn't make it back. And I'm so happy that I know that my God wants me here. And he's going to make sure that I get back. But it was, the plane ride was pretty, it was pretty bumpy. And I just prayed to God, you know, this, if it's your will, it's your will. And if it's your way, I'll be back home. But one thing, when the pastor preached on what is Calvary for, I had an opportunity to reflect on that. And it's the blood of Jesus that's with all of us, that's flowing through all of us. Amen. And if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have a place to go. Amen. And so while I was away, I had an opportunity to sit with a young lady at a dinner, and I'd been sitting with my family the whole week. And it was for a reason. Amen. That young lady, amen, she had lost a family member while she was on the cruise. Whoops, I said cruise. Sorry. But she had lost a family member while we were out on vacation. And it was really hard for her because they're Muslims, and Muslims bury their family within 3 days. And there was no way she was going to make it. And so I just talked with her and let her know that you're going to see your loved one again. I can guarantee you that. Because you sat next to the right person today. Yes. I didn't know her from Adam. And I just felt good in my heart that I could share that moment with her. And she was just so thankful. And I thank God that I just reached out to her, because it was just something about her that didn't look right. And so I get that here. And amen. I'm thankful, right, that our, amen, pastor and brother Doug made it safely. And continue prayers. Yeah. Thank you. Amen.
I'm so happy to be here. I'm just so grateful for, you know, the things that God does and what we get in here. You know, this place is just beyond amazing for me. Every time I come here, I don't ever leave the same. When I come here and I hear these words, I hear the testimonies, I hear the preaching, I apply those things and I greatly overcome. I don't just overcome, I have more. I mean, I'm a whole nother hurdle over the obstacle. And yeah, you know, I have those days where I'm going to be like, man, you know what? The flesh starts getting on you and it just doesn't feel right. I'm not comfortable in it. But then when you look at this thing, it only takes a little bit of this. Just stir up that remember, stir up that pot, you know? And man, I'm telling you, it's just, you talk yourself into it and then you talk yourself right back out of it. That's what a revelation will do for you. And I'm grateful because, you know, I've been seeing my son have a lot of progression in school. He's been sharing a lot of things with me. Like he doesn't get harassed by the group anymore. You know, it's just, he said he'll make your enemies your footstool. You know, and it's not that we want him to be. It's just that's what he said, you know. And I'm just so grateful for the services that we've been having, you know, and there's just so much that goes through my head, man. I mean, there's been so many people I've been able to meet and had the pleasure to serve out there and doing what I do, you know, and it's amazing. It's just amazing. You don't have to find these people. They just come to you. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. All that the Father has given me will come to this boy here. And I'm just so happy to be here. God bless you.
Man, I'm thankful too to have such an understanding. You know, you look around the world today and you think, you know, you see anything from out and out pure devils to people that claim to be a Christian and still don't know anything about him. And I'm thankful that, you know, to see us at the top of the pyramid, to see there's very few today, and more thankful to be one of those very few. That means everything to me. You know, Revelation, it ties Satan's hands every which way. He's got no hold on the bride at all.
Amen.
You know, he might whisper in your ear a little bit. You know, I was thinking about that, if you ever read that book, Pilgrim's Progress, poor pilgrim walking down there through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, and dark, couldn't see anything, but the devil's rushing in on him, and this way and that way, you know, just, but he was steady. And God was leading him every step of the way until he went right through it. And I'm thankful for those times that I've been through because it builds character. You know, and after a while, you know, like I've said before, it's not just hoping and believing. It's trusting. It's knowing. You know, the world's got a hope so and a maybe so. And they could move pretty far with that. You know, they do pretty well, you know. But with a no so, I'm so thankful. You know, just, I was thinking about the fellow that wrote that song, He Abides. He wrote it, He Abides With Me. But the Bible says He not only with you, but in you. And I'm so thankful, you know. And you look back, and for 2,000 years, they haven't quite understood how that works till today, till we understand today, till the seals are broke. And that just means everything to me. And to be a part of this, you know, you can sit there and you know, your personality gets in the way, and other people get in the way, other people's personalities get in the way, and everything else. But the revelation cuts through every bit of it. I'm here to worship Him. I'm here to hear the Word of God tonight. And I'm so thankful that I know, not I hope so, I know that the Word of God is going to come forth.
Amen.
You know, from, you know, how shall they preach except they be sent? And I know these ministers that we have here have been sent.
Yes.
They certainly proved themselves. It's been word upon word upon word. Never had to take anything back. I've been here for a long time, and I've never seen the ministers have to take anything back. And I'm so thankful for a no-so, a perfect Word of God that comes forth that I have full confidence in. And, you know, that just means everything. That's what spurs me on every day. That's what pulls me through every puddle that I fall in. It gets me right back out the other side. Like, you know, there's always a puddle in the road somewhere. And, you know, I don't care if you got to swim through it. You get to the other side by His grace. I'm thankful for it. Amen.
I came in tonight and I was looking at that PowerPoint. I saw it on Facebook today, but it encouraged me because, you know, those two brothers have had a push. Yeah. You know, they're going across the world. And I'm like, put something in the service, Dwayne. Like, right. You came 10 minutes across town, so this is your service to serve God. So I thank God for those two brothers serving God on our behalf. But I was just thinking about this weekend services. I was thankful for them. And Brother Peter, I'm sorry, Brother Tony. And just how he preached on Saturday on having a purpose.
Amen.
And we know our purpose.
Yes.
So I was thankful about that. I was like, we understand that. We know we have to get our loved ones up. And then on Sunday, you talked about, you know, understanding grace. And I saw a meme today. It says, if you have grace, you have everything.
Amen.
And I know what that means. I even know that I'm grace to this age right now. Like, we have everything. If I need grace, I know to go to my wife, my best friend, my pastor. Or if you need grace, you can come to me. I know who I am.
Amen.
So I'm just thankful that this service has encouraged me, and I'm excited about Easter weekend. Being with you all, I'm just proud to be here.
Amen.
Amen.
Sing page 51 and only believe. Glory to His name.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood of God, singing glory to His name. Thank you. so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in, singing glory to his name. I'm singing. Precious fountain that saves from sin. Oh, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean.
Wondrously saved. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in, singing glory to his name. I'm singing glory to his name. What a wonderful name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied, singing glory to his name. Down. I'm singing glory to his name. What a wonderful name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied, singing glory to his name.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to get together once more as believers, just gathering and the ability to fellowship in the word. We're a blessed group. Lord, help us to remove any type of distractions or hindrance that could get in the way of us just receiving the word and enjoying these few moments that we get with you, Lord. Lord, like the brother said, this is our little opportunity to do our part. Praise God. We got brothers that are traveling international. Lord, bless them and bless their services, and maybe day or night right now there, Lord, but just bless them. Be with any of the saints and the believers that are out traveling tonight or maybe sick or at home. Lord, bless them. Lord, thank you for giving us another notch of faith in our belt when we saw Brother Trevor this weekend testify of a prophecy that was given. Lord, all that does is encourage us even more to hold fast to the other ones that you told us, Lord. Said, by your stripes you're healed. Lord, I'm expecting Sister Anna to see. Lord, I'm still praying for Brother Trevor. Even though I saw the healing, I'm still praying for the Brinkmans, Lord. Bless Sister Kara, bless the saints here, Lord, and bless the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to be here tonight. I'm excited about the Word of God always. It's the only thing I got that doesn't change, that just gets better and better every service. The only thing I can never say I'm tired of. You know, I've ate a lot of good food in my life. I can tell. And as much as I love steak, if I eat steak every meal, I get tired of it. I'm like, I want something else. But this is the Word of God. I don't ever get tired of it. I can have service on Saturday. I can have service on Sunday. I can have service on Wednesday night. And guess what? Saturday, I'm looking forward to it again. I'm looking forward to service again. I can have 2 services, 3 services, how many ever services you want. I want the Word of God always. And it's the only thing that thrills me, that enthuses me, and I praise God for it. It was a blessing to hear Brother Tony this weekend, and look, appreciated him coming in. And, you know, we had the opportunity on Thursday with Brother Tony to go to Brother Seaver's church. I may be saying his name right. Mike Seaver's church in Dayton, and a small little group there. And that was their first service, weekday since COVID. So that was an interesting thing to see, you know. We travel, you know, we've been out to different churches, but to see that, you go, my goodness, you know, to not have the ability to congregate, to get together, that's unfortunate, you know, for them. We've had service, so, you know, I feel for them that had to go through that, but I praise God that I didn't. You know, I praise God that I was spoiled during that time period. You know, I had an opportunity, we had golden tickets around here. This was Willy Wonka's palace. It was candy everywhere. I was eating good. I've never been without. You know, there's churches that have pockets of time where they're, I don't know who the minister's going to be. There's churches that go, I don't know who the pastor is. There's churches that go, I don't know what God wants to do there. But I've never had that uncertainty. I come here every service after service after service after service with the same expectation that I want to hear from you, Lord, and I know I will. I hold to that promise like Jacob held on to God when he was in the mountains, that I won't let go till you bless me. I come here every service and I won't let go till you bless me. I come here with an expectation. I don't care who's preaching. It could have been Mike Seaver up here and I would have held on and said, I'm not letting go until you bless me. He could have had something wrote down. He could have had something in his iPad and I would have been there just like a believer saying, I'm not letting go until you bless me. We pull it out of anybody. And I praise God for that. But I thank God that I don't even got to pull that hard tonight. It just stirred a pot just a little bit. Oh, you saw the sediment of the sugar? Just stir that Kool-Aid just a little bit. All you got to do is turn that spoon just a little bit. It'll get me stirred up. I can just remember what God has done. Just sitting down, like you said, Brother Don, just in the quiet, in the still, I can just sit there and go, my goodness, God, you've been good to me. I can just see believer after believer coming in, and it stirs me up. And I say, oh, I know if you God had to go through what I had to go through to get here, then praise God, you made it. Oh, my, that gets me stirred up. I'll get to my message in a minute, but I got a testimony. Because Sister Mel, you encouraged me when you said, you know what, praise God, I made it back. There's some people that don't make it back. You can talk about a flight. You can talk about turbulence in life. You can equate that to a lot of things. There's people that walk out these doors that don't make it back. Praise God, I made it back one more time. Oh, you can talk about what I did on Saturday night. You can reference what I did on Monday morning. You can talk about what I did at work this evening. But guess what, devil? I made it back one more time. So you know what that means? God's still using me. You know what that means? He's still got something for me to do. Oh, my. That gets me stirred up when I think like that. I get encouraged when I think like that. Because I got too many scriptures to back up that if he's got me here, that means I got a job to do. That means I'm somewhat of an important person. That means he needs me just like I need him. How else is he going to see but through my eyes? How else is he going to touch but with my hands? How else is he going to hear but with my ears? How else is he going to walk without my feet? How else can he meet those people? He needs me. See, I like to say it like that sometimes for the devil. I like to put it right in his nose hairs. God does need me, or else I wouldn't be here. He don't have people to... See, God don't employ people. You know, God is like a Deskin. You guys ever work with the Deskins? They're terrible to work for. Brother Don Deskins doesn't have extra employees. Let me tell you the difference. I'm doing a project at my house. I want 30 brothers all there to help me move 4 bricks. Take our time. Let's laugh. Let's move it. 20 people ain't working. That's okay with me. It lessens the load. You go to Brother Don Deska's house. If he's doing a project, it could be moving a car. And he'd be like, we only need one other person. I don't want too many extras just sitting around. That's how God is. He don't want no extras. Matter of fact, even when they had that battle, those brothers went down to the water and supped. And he said, oh, you got too many. You got too many extras. I'm not going to get the glory out of it. Go ahead and get rid of those extras. I praise God that I'm not extra. He needs me tonight. Oh, I praise God that I drink the water the right way. I praise God that I see it the right way. God needs me. He don't look at me as an extra. Matter of fact, even in the movies, you don't even get your name in top billing. You're just an extra. You was a tree or something in the background. You was just an extra. I'm A-list. You put my name on the front of it. They without me cannot be made perfect. See, when you start talking like that, you get stirred up a little bit. I'll get to my message, but like I said, I got my testimony because I know what God has done for me. I go out there and I see that they don't have what I got. I go out there and I see that they're not enthused like I'm enthused. I go out there and I see it got old to the world. I see it got old to message people, but it ain't old to me. I'm stirred up. I'm not tired yet. Oh, I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired yet. Oh, my. See, I'm like a leash in this thing. I got my wind. I can't even stop. I got that second and third wind. I'm not even thinking about stopping. See, those good runners, they get in the pace, and you got to almost tell them to stop. You got to almost say, hey, we got things to do today. You can't run all day because they just get in the groove. They get in the groove where they can just go. That's how I am with the Word of God. I get in the groove and I got it. I see how Brother Childers can preach for 4 hours now. He was in that groove. Oh, see, there's some people that can only preach for 20 minutes. There's some people that can only preach 15 minutes. And I'm talking about preaching. I'm not talking standing up here. There's people that stand up here for hours, but they only preach for 5 minutes. There's people that stand up here for 3 hours, but they only preach for 10 minutes. I've been preaching the whole time. I got stirred up the whole time. Oh, it means something to me. Oh, I even understand it when Brother Childers said, if you can only preach for 15 minutes, just preach for that 15 minutes and sit down. If you don't have an hour message, that's fine. Do what you got. Get God what God gave you. But that helps you in all things. Because you know what you do? You come up here. If you're going to sit up here for an hour and not preach, you're lying to yourself. You're wasting time. It'd be better just to preach 15 minutes. Turn over somebody else that's burning. Turn over us, somebody else that's burning. Let us all enjoy this thing. Oh, I told Pastor Moore, I said, you know, he said, y'all going to be having a good old time. I said, we probably are. I said, you know what? I said, when they came to get Jesus, somebody had to kiss him. So they know who it was. Because everybody looked like Jesus. They were looking around saying, well, who's the most important person here? Who is he? Which one is he? That's how it is when you come in here tonight. You don't know who the pastor is. You don't know who the deacon is. You don't know who leading it. We're all turned on. As far as you know, Brother Warren is the best one. As far as you know, Brother John's the only one that's got. As far as you know, you don't know what's going on. But when you're a believer, you're coming in here and say, the Spirit of God is just moving. It's moving from this one to this one to this one to this one. That's the grace of God that we have. It's by a grace that we're saved. That's unmerited favor. God gave this to us. I rejoice in this. You know, Brother Tony, he had a quote. Now, let me see if I can find that quote of what he said. Because he said something that just, I was looking at that. I said, my, we overlook this all the time. He basically said, I'm going to try to find that quote if I can. If I can see it here, let me see it where he said it. Brother Tony said that works is just an appreciation of the grace. That's where it comes from. See, the church world will have you looking at this all wrong. They want you to work something up. Don't work me up. You don't got to pump me up. Sister Mel's testimony, she wasn't trying to, let me get them all stirred. No, just share what's in your heart. It'll take care of the rest. Brother Warren playing a song, then just share what's in your heart. God will take care of the rest. You ain't got to pump me up. Just stir up the pot a little bit. It stirs up in me. I'm stirred up by pure revelation. I got something on me that the world couldn't give to me. So if the world couldn't give it, then the world can't take it away. That means job can't take it away. That means family can't take it away. That means friends can't take it away. That means money can't take it away. That means kids can't take it away. Nothing can affect this joy that I have. Woo, that gets me stirred up. You can't make me doubt him. Why? Because I know too much about him. Oh, my. See, God, we serve a good God. That's the problem. I know too much. I know how good he is. I know how much he wants to take care of me. I know that he wants to supply my needs before I even ask it. He's just saying, speak the word. I'm waiting on the edge to speak it. I want to bless you. Woo, see, when you serve a God like that, that's why it's easy to serve God. That's why when people tell me it's hard, I'm like, you ain't been listening. You know, you can't hear God. You can't hear him. It's still thunders and cymbals to you. It's still candlesticks and lightning. But when you can hear the word of God, oh, it's so sweet. Oh, it's like he's just whispering love secrets. That's all I hear. He's saying, what do you want? I give this to you. You want this? You want to bind this? You want to loose that? See, let me show you. I got my stuff here, and we're going to get to this here in a minute. But Sister Mel's testimony, let me show you how different things are. And I'm going to look at this in the lens so y'all can see what I saw. Sister Mel gave a testimony about being on vacation, right, where she was with somebody that was Muslim. They were Muslim. Did that trip her up? She go, ooh, can't sit at this table no more because I'm going to want some bacon. They got breakfast. I'm at step away here. I can't eat with these heathens, these unbelievers. Sat there. And did she leave her comfortless? No, she gave her comfort. What is the headstone doing in this hour? Saying grace, grace, grace. That's all we holler out. That's all we got. She said to that Muslim that had lost somebody, that all their rules, all their laws, all their traditions had bound them up. Their traditions have made the word of God of none effect. By their own traditions and creed and dogmas, they couldn't even see that their loved one would be okay because they didn't bury him in the right amount of time. That was their traditions. But when God is on the scene, oh, he can weep a little bit if he wants to, like Jesus did at Lazarus' tomb. But he said, I am the resurrection. I am what it is. Today you'll be with me in paradise. He said, I can give you a guarantee is what she said. Who else can do that? Oh, I've heard of people going to funerals with believers saying, I'm going to take all of you. I've heard of people talking to some church people, some Christians, saying, I'm going to take you. But now it's gotten to the point where we're taking whoever we want. Well, who does Mel think she is? That she has the power to forgive sin. Only God can do that. Hello? Who you waiting for? I'm who you've been looking for. I'm who you've been praying about. I'm here now. See, that's why it got me stirred up. That's why it got me stirred up. I was sitting there thinking, my, do you know how good you got it here? We get so much grace. That's all we get here. Now, my brother Tony was talking one time, and I think Brother Jeremiah, you typed this out, and I'm going to mess up the analogy a little bit, so help me if I get there. He was talking about the ages, how they moved. And he said, basically, you know, there was a time period where they had horse and buggy. Then they transitioned to a car. Then went from a car to a plane. Then from a plane to a rocket. And they said, when you get to that, you're so high that you can't even see the ground anymore. And I thought about that. I said, that's exactly how this progression should work for you. Yeah. Oh, yeah, when you come in here, you could be moving like a buggy a little bit, moving like a car a little bit. Then you move like a plane a little bit. But when you get up here in that rocket where we've taken off and left the ground, grace is so high, it's so much higher that law is not even in the picture. Yeah. Woo! Oh, when you see it like that,
Amen.
And even Pastor Moore added to that. He said, you know, that we've got to the point now where we can leave and come back. See, when they first did it, they could leave, but they couldn't use that same vehicle to come back. But now we can leave and come back. Jesus is coming back, and he's here. See, that trips them up. I like to throw that in there. He's coming back, but he's here already. That's for those unbelieving devils. Let's get in here, because God's grace is my title. Brother Tony was talking about that unusual attraction, and I praise God that he brought that up. He was talking about what happened on Sunset Mountain, showed us the pictures of the cloud. And I love that because that's something that you can research right now. You know, we had a Bible study and they were talking about Google. You can Google that. Like, that's recent. It's in Life magazine. You can see, like, we didn't make that up. You know, they go, oh, you're a cult. Okay, well, that cloud happened. You don't even have to have faith to believe the cloud happened. And if you look at it the right way, through the lens of a believer, you can see what's going on there in that cloud. Even if you're not a believer now at this point, you get enough the resolution, you can come in and see closer and closer what that cloud represents. It shows all those things. But I thought, praise God for that reminder. And you know, this is real. We had a real prophet. We had a real prophet that opened up those seals. You know, God's grace wasn't even available to us until those seals were open. You didn't even realize that you needed God's grace. You didn't realize what God was doing that whole time. Until the seals were open, we had this Bible was unknown. But you didn't even know what grace was. You didn't even know what Jesus really came to do. The book of Revelations is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation couldn't be open to you until the seals are open. So you wouldn't even have a revelation on who Jesus Christ was without the seals being open. That's A plus B equal and C. That's as simple as I can make it. You don't understand the book of Revelations without the seals being open. And the seals didn't get open until Brother Branham in 1963. That's a fact. Now, we reference other books. We can look back in 19... I got a quote here from 1956. And I got quotes from everywhere. But I can go back and read the book of Genesis. And the Old Testament saints, they still needed the New Testament. And they needed Jesus to die on the cross. So it's still a progression no matter how you look at it. But I praise God that we got an understanding. So God's grace. That's my title tonight. Because we fail to realize all that it did for us. It took care of everything. God's grace took care of everything. You know, I'm gonna go over here and I'm gonna get to a quote, because here's the thing about it. God's grace has to be accepted. You know, even Brother Branham talked about a pardon, and we know the story. Like, a pardon is not a pardon unless you accept it. You know, God has been given his grace all the time, and man doesn't accept it. And you say, oh, Brother Jay, no. If you gave somebody grace, they would accept it. They never accept it. And, you know, so we can reference the story of Noah. Noah was building an ark for 100 years, 120 years. Well, he started when he was, 480 years old or 500 years old or whatever, and went to 620 or something like that. I don't know the chronology of it, but that's basically it, right? 120 years to build the ark. And that whole time, that was him extending grace to the entire world. Every time he was building the ark, whether he preached or not, him building the ark was saying that God told him something was going to happen. Please believe me. And this is your only way to be saved, is to accept God's grace. And what did they do? Rejected him at every single time. Let's read over here in that story. Because over in Genesis 6 and 8, it says, God found favor, grace. Yeah, verse 8. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Prior to that, it's talking about how God was looking down and saw that man was just wicked in everything that he thought of. And the thing about that is, it's like that now. Man is wicked now. They don't want God now. As a matter of fact, and we reference this as we go along, but it says, like, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. That was when man was the most wicked and didn't want God. It was total darkness. That's how it was then. Let's go over here. But it said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he found favor in that. But that's not the part I like. I want to keep on going down to verse 13 through 17. God's telling Noah how to build the ark, how to do this, how to do that. Then God tells Noah who's actually going to be on the ark. He says on verse 18, he says, but with thee I will establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy wives with thee. Who else did he name? Who else did he name? Nobody else. That's all that was going to be on the ark. And of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort, thou shalt bring unto the ark. He's talking about the animals, and keep them alive with thee, and they shall be male and female, and of the fowls of their kind, and the cattle of their kind, and every creeping thing of the earth, after this kind, two of every sort. God's talking about who's going to be on the ark. God knew exactly who was going to be on the ark. Foreknew it. He foreknew who was going to be on the ark. When he gave Noah the dimensions on what to build, it was set up only for the people that were going to be on the ark. You know what? It's kind of like a gym membership. They know all y'all ain't going to go work out. They sell so many memberships that if we all went to the gym, it wouldn't be no room. They know you're not going. God knew nobody was getting on that ark but Noah and the animals. Noah, his family, and the animals. That's all that was going to get on the ark. That's right. So he prepared it for that. That's right. He built it for that. You guys ever been on a boat? You can't have extra seats for no reason. That's got to come into the accounting. You got to think of that when you engineer the boat or it won't float. Yeah. God's got to had that all thought up in his mind when he designed the ark of who was going to be on there so it would be able to take care of whatever needed to do. See, I love even Brother Tony had this quote. He said, God knew exactly who would be able to accept his grace. And he had over here, and I'm going to read this quote here, because he referenced this quote, and I'm going to read this quote to you guys. And I got stirred up by Brother Tony when he did this, because it was over, and God hath provided a way. And he said, and he foreknew that, and this is paragraph 57, and he foreknew that there would be somebody who would believe it. So he sent Jesus for those who would believe it. And here they are today, gathered in one spot. Matter of fact, let me read up a little bit more. Let me go up a little bit more. Because I love this that he said, and this is paragraph 56. That's where I wanted to read it. Sorry. Therefore, he knew that there was going to be a church called out without spot or wrinkle. And there had to be preparations made to save that church. So he sent Jesus, not just, and this is what Brother Tony said, not just perhaps somebody might be saved, but he knew who was going to do it. He would have a people called out, and you are they. He would have a people that would believe in divine healing, would accept the stripes of their healing, and you are they. God knew it. He knew there would be unbelievers, and there was then, and he knew there would be. He foreknew it. So therefore, he could foresay it would be that way. And this is paragraph 57. And he foreknew that there would be somebody who would believe it. There's a group tonight that would believe it. Amen. He foreknew that. Amen. He prepared this church just for you. Amen. This is our ark right now. Amen. He knew exactly how many seats we needed. Right. He knew exactly how many ministers we needed. Yeah. He knew exactly where this needed to be located. He did all this in preparations, not for a hope so that there would be a church, but he knew exactly Amen. Who that Amen. Would be. That's God's grace to us. Amen. He took care of us when we didn't even know we needed taken care of. He saved us when we didn't even know we needed saving. He slain the lamb before the foundation of the world. We come in here and wake up to the fact that we've been taken care of since eternity. I've always been saved. I wasn't saved on any day. Oh, I have a manifestation of a new birth, but my eternal life that's on the inside of me has always been there. I've always been a son. Oh, my. And here they are today, gathered here in one spot. Praise God, Brother Branham, to accept what God foreknew would take place. God made a preparation for those who would believe it, and you are part of that preparation. Oh, praise God, I'm a part of the family of God. See, no, they don't ever accept it. You know, and even over in Matthew 24 and 37, it talks about it'll be that way in the as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Total darkness. Total darkness. Total darkness. And you know, in the church world, and we've said this before, and I want to make sure I mention it. The church world has, you know, the days of Noah and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah as people were bad. That's why God They had wickedness and no love for God. That was the bad. Their life, come hell or high water, that wasn't really the determining nation. Because Noah didn't have that great of a life. Noah was not that great of a person. He wasn't a good liver. Now, there's things in the Bible that talk about Noah, and I don't want to beat up my buddy. But he didn't have a great life. They didn't like Noah. Nobody helped Noah. I just got done talking about how I'd move some bricks in my house. Somebody come help me. People at least would want to help me. I got some friends that would help me. Noah had nobody. Noah was the only one on the face of the earth that found favor with God. He was the only, the better way to say it, Noah was the only one that believed God. Amen. He was the only one that believed the word of God.
That's right. Only one.
And he preached that message for 120 years. So I've been doing this 7 years. I ain't tired yet. Give me 113 more, and then we can get on the ark. But I ain't tired yet. I'm looking forward to what God's been doing. And you know, you got to say it like this. I'm the only one that believes God. That's how Brother Childers had to get to that point. He said, if anybody's going for Fairborn, it's going to be me.
Amen.
Why? Because I know what I know. I know what God told me. Noah knows what God told him. He didn't waver from it one bit. If it took 100 years to build it, 120 years to build it, he wasn't wavering one bit. Lord, when I get done, you can go ahead and do what you need to do. He was like Samson. Just give me strength one more time. Just give me one more. If I'm here again, just give me strength for today then, Lord. If there's a Wednesday night, just give me strength for tonight. If I go to Thursday, give me strength for Thursday. See, I don't even take thought for tomorrow. I praise God for all the grace that he's given me right now.
Yes.
You know, some people want more and more and more and more. I'm more than a conqueror.
Amen.
By the word of God, I already got. I got all I need.
Yes,
see, that's the problem with some people that want to learn. They want to learn so much that they're the only ones that got it. That's dangerous. I've never seen it work. Never seen it work. I've never seen it work. Because you run out. And then what you start doing is you got to start making some adjustments because you ran out. And now you got to figure out a way to tie it back in with all the other things that everybody knows true. So then you start lying. Then you got to remember those lies because now Google does exist. And now we got a record of what you said. And now we got a tape of what you said. Now we got books of where you said it. Now we got where you wrote down where you said it. And now we can reference that you believed this at one point. And now you believe this at this point. Why did you change? If God told you that, why did you change? If God told Noah to build an ark, that was the message. There was no need to change it. When God told Moses to go get his people out, that was the message. No need to change it. When God told Jesus he was going to have to die on the cross, that was the message. No need to change it. You know what I'm getting at? No matter what comes your way, when God gives you a message, truly gives it to you, no matter what life circumstances come in your way, there is no reason to change it. That's why I don't give a tinker for anybody that goes, oh, javelina hogs, make me throw my message books away. What? I don't care what was going on. That man was a prophet of the hour. Praise God if he had 5 minutes of rest dealing with all those unbelievers. I praise God that he had some time, free time to do something. If that's the worst that he did, then praise God. I don't even hold it against him. See, I don't even want Satan to have a stumbling block at all. I don't hold anything against him. Why would I? That's my grace. As much as he needs it, I need it. I'm looking at my own life and I say, if Brother Branham was taking things back to the border to declare it, I need grace. I wouldn't drive back to McDonald's if they put an extra sandwich in my bag. I'd be like, well, that it, praise God. He knew I was hungry. Won't he provide? See how I spend that? I'm a liar. But Brother Branham, going back, good man. And these people will go back on something they can't even verify. Some just garbage to throw out the word of God because life circumstances get in their way. Because they believed in a tent ministry and Brother Branham didn't come back in the time period that they thought he was coming back. Even if Brother Branham came back, he wouldn't save anybody. It wouldn't do anything different. The same believers that are here now would be the same ones if he was to resurrect from the grave. That's just how it works. He's not going to change anybody. Oh, my. See, the church world will have you wanting to see this miracle and see that miracle and see this. I don't need to see another miracle. Matter of fact, Jesus and Brother Branham got to the point where they're like, I the miracles of times are done. I ain't got time for that. I got something that's more important. The Word of God. The Word of God is most important. That's where I got to give all my time. Matter of fact, Brother Branham got to the point after all those miracles, he said, if I'm going to do anything for God, I better get started now. What is he getting started with? Preaching the Word of God. Seals have been opened now. Now we can really get to work. Oh, the Word is restored, but now it's time to preach it. Now it's time to share it. Now it's time to dive in this thing. And I praise God that he said, you brothers, take it and break it down. That means there's something for us to be able to do with it. We got an opportunity to take this word and take it in for us. It's not just left in the prophet. See, the church world will have you thinking it's just still stuck in Brother Branham. And they want to listen to tapes. I can't listen to tapes. 1964 won't get me through 2023. I need a living God right now. Oh, what my kids are going through, I need God right now. What my mind is going through, I need God tonight. I'm like Brother Isaiah, I can't leave the same. I need God's grace every day. I need it every day. And every now and again, I need to be reminded. When I come in here, I want to be reminded that you know what? You are good enough. God is pleased to dwell in you. You're beautifully and humbly made. He took all this care to give you the skin color that you got, the height that you got, the hair color that you got, the body build that you got. Matter of fact, and Brother Tony even said it, he said, God's got a yearbook. Where he's just looking at you perfect. That's the only image he sees of you. See, and here we go here, and we've got mirrors. But guess what? You got the lights turned off. It's hard to see what's really going on in the mirror. It's a fuzzy picture. What you're looking at right now is just a shadow of what I really am. You're just looking at a shadow of what I look like. Oh, when I get my glorified body. Woo! But here's what I love about that. I know I'm getting a glorified body. Amen. Oh, there's people that worry about things that they ain't getting. I know I'm getting my glorified. I'm a third of the way there. Amen. I got my new birth. Yeah. So that means that theophany and my glorified body is got to happen. Yes, oh, if they want to happen in stages, fine with me. Yeah. If it's going to go and I got to wait for y'all to wreck me up, that's fine with me. I'm guaranteed, like Sister Mel said, to get my glorified body. Yeah. I know I'm getting that. See, the church world has you thinking you got to work up to get it. God's already given it to me. His grace is sufficient. Woo, I love that. See, this church world, they're out here eating and drinking and not caring about the Word of God. They don't big care about the Word of God. There's two things today that got me thinking about this message tonight. And you always have different thoughts and stuff. But Brother Dwayne's text, when he sent that, I thought, amen. See, you don't even really know what you're doing when you're talking to believers. That's why you should be, make sure I say this right. You should be respectful when you're dealing with the bride body. You should have some reverence there and how you even approach them, how you talk to them. Because, you know, you're thinking about, Dwayne's text was a prelude to tonight's service. God's grace. When you have that, you've got everything. Amen to that. You know, God's grace. But I was at work and somebody said something that even got me stirred up a little bit as well, thinking about it. They were talking about, you know, Easter coming up and one of the guys was like, yeah, Jesus was on the cross for 40 days. I was like, what? What are you talking about? I was like, I think you got your stories wrong. He's like, no, he was on there for 40 days, 40 nights. And I was like, do you even know what the crucifixion is? I was like, do you know how long that would be? 40 days without food or water? Let's walk you through this here, bub. That in itself doesn't make sense. And he was like, well, I thought it was 40 days. It just showed how lackadaisical they even cared about the Word of God. It wasn't even something that they even wanted to look up. Like, I thought it was 40 days. Well, how many days was it? How long was it? I was like, Jesus was on that cross for a couple hours. Hours. And matter of fact, if you want to get on the types, they talk about how it was light when he was there, and then the last 3 hours it was dark, and it was total darkness, and those kind of things, 6 hours. I'm not getting on the types. I don't know them all, so I'm not even going to go out on that limb and step on something that could break. But it was 6 hours. That I do know, that he was on that cross. But in that time period, I just looked at it and I go, it just showed how little respect for the Word of God at all. And here we are in the month of Easter. the only month that you would probably need to know what was going on. I'm looking at them like, they give more respect to Santa Claus. They know what time he's showing up with the gifts. They know what time he's going to come in. They know what list he's checking whether you're naughty or nice. They give more reverence to Santa Claus than Jesus Christ that paid it all.
Amen.
This is a wicked world. They have no love for the Word of God at all. Don't even care. Yet, in this hour, we're sitting light in Goshen. Amen. Sitting with so much light, there's no darkness. You know, we've talked about that, how you get so much light, you can't even have a shadow. When you get so much light, a shadow can't even exist. It's pure light right now. We're sitting in total light right now with no questions about anything. Do you know there's people that question, they start off with questions in the book of in the Bible. They start off with, it was an apple. You start off wrong right there. How are you going to get to the book of Revelations if you start off in an apple? You don't have serpent seed right. You don't even know the story of redemption. You don't even know that there needed to be a sacrifice. You don't even know that it needed to be a blood sacrifice. You have an apple. You've already messed up. Just stop right there. You know, there's some tests that you take, and my wife's been a part of it. I'm sure Brother Jeremiah was, and there were tests I had to take called like Series 6, and it's for investments. But if you got so many questions wrong, they just stop. Like, you can't pass it, bub. You get so many wrong, don't worry about it. We don't even need to calculate the score. It's over. You get so many wrong, it's forget about it. And it would just stop. And you wouldn't know because they wouldn't tell you the results until a little bit later. So you'd be like, how many questions did you get? And you say some low number, they'd be like, yeah, don't worry about it, bub. You didn't pass it. Come in there and be like, I got 15. It should have been 100. So don't worry about it. You didn't pass it. Study up. Take it again in 30 days. But that's how it is with the church world. They got it so wrong, don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about openings. Don't even worry about getting to the seals. Don't worry about talking about a prophet. Don't worry about the book of Revelations being open to you. Don't worry about the redemption story. Don't even worry about what Jesus paid for. Won't you just love me and I'll take care of it. I got it. Don't worry about it. You love the right thing and you will be there with me. That's even what Jesus said to the guy on the cross that was sitting there. He said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Don't worry about getting baptized. Don't worry about doing this. Don't worry about doing that. We don't even got time for that. You love the right thing. You're taken care of. That's God's grace right there. We're extending grace. We have the ability to extend grace. Oh, my. See, the church world don't even have grace for themselves, and we're so blessed that we're extending it. Oh, see.
Amen.
See, when you talk like that, that's what Brother Isaiah was saying. I have so much I can give it. I've cleared the obstacle so much I can give it. There's people tonight that'll go to bed wondering, praying, hoping that today they live good enough to make it. And they'll get up in the morning and fight that same fight again. And they'll go, I hope I'm holy enough. I hope I prayed enough. I hope I studied enough. I hope I was just consecrated for the Lord. I hope I don't say a bad word. Hope I don't have a bad thought. They're hoping the whole time. Uncertain the whole time. And here we are. Oh, let me sit down. Skip all these Christians. There's a Muslim over there. See, they're going through something. What troubles you? I got some water here that you'll never thirst again. You'll never thirst again. I got some living water on me that'll take care of you and me. Oh, that's somebody living in the surplus. That's somebody living in abundance. Full light in this hour. Oh, my. And even Brother Tony was talking about, he's talking about that capstone. He showed the pyramid. And the thing about that, when you see that capstone just right, that capstone is its own pyramid in itself. It has everything it needs in itself right there. It's coming down. But that capstone, that headstone is crying, grace, grace, grace. Oh, my. See, we're too blessed. We're too blessed of a group, Brother Jeremiah. We get too much word upon word upon word.
I mean, this thing is stacking up like the Himalayas in here. I'm telling you about blessing after blessing after blessing, tying it into God's promises, tying it into the scriptures, tying it in with the Old Testament, tying it in with the New Testament, tying it in with the book of Revelation, tying it into Luke 17:30, tying it in Matthew. This thing is tying so much you can't untie it. This thing, you can't untie this thing. This thing has got me in knots now. I'm just excited. Why? Because I see the picture for myself. And when you see yourself in it, nobody can take you out of it. Because it's no longer good living. Because good living didn't get me in here. It's no longer studying, because studying didn't get me in here. It's no longer fasting and praying, because that didn't get me in here. It's no longer traditions, because that didn't get me in here. It was a revelation that was given to me by God Himself. Oh, I got a word from the Lord. When you get a word from the Lord, that changes everything. Oh, that changes everything. Bad day, good day, that don't change. I'm still building that ark. Doing what God asked me to do. That's what I'm doing every single day. As long as I'm here, I got a job to do. I got people that I got to take care of. I've got grace that I got to extend. And that's why we don't even have, that's why Pastor Moore won't even let you hold a grudge. How are you going to hold a grudge? You need all the grace you're trying to hold from somebody. You need that too. You need it. You know you need it if you're honest. You know you need it if you're honest. You know you needed it before you got here. So why are you holding on to something that was freely given to you? You didn't work for this. You didn't even find this church. Oh, people want to, they want to claim, oh, I was searching for the Lord and he took me. No, he didn't. That ain't how it happened. You're lying. You might have had a longing in your heart for being unfull from what we were giving you. They were giving you wiggletails and maggots out there, and you saw all the lies and deceit, but you couldn't find Fairborn on a map if I gave you 100 years. You couldn't find this place if you had 100 years. You would never be able to find this without God leading you here. God had to personally take you by the hand and walk you in here and sit you down and keep you still long enough to water that seed. And then once it started growing, it's good now. It'll take care of itself now. You guess what happens when you get a seedling in the beginning? You gotta kind of put it right there by the sun. I gotta put it right by the window. I gotta go, whoa, let's make sure when the light moves, I slide it over. When the sun's coming down, where's the shade at? You're moving it over. You're taking care of it a little bit. That's what happens a little bit in here. As a kid, I'm like, hey, sit down, pay attention. Blah, blah, blah. No, hold still. Just getting you. Just seeing some light, getting some light. That's what God did to us. Amen. That's what God did to us. Now, I can't force the God on you. I know the other side of that. But that's what God did to us. He kept us right in the light. Right there. It could have been a job. It could have been whatever that got you in the door. But God was keeping you right in that light. And then once that seedling comes up, oh, guess what it does now? It searches for the light. Miss Courtney grows plants in the house. And I crack up because she moves them all the time. Not for the sunlight, but she just moves them around the house. And you know what they do? They start growing all crooked. They're like, where's the sun? And then it comes in over there. And then she moves them to the other side of the house and they turn to that window. And they turn to that window. Y'all ever come over, you'll see them. These crooked plants, because they're looking for the sun. They're looking for it. That's what happens to us as believers. You go out on vacation and you're looking for the sun. Like, God, where you at? I know you got me here for a reason. Oh, you getting yourself in a hospital? I'm like, well, I know you got me here for a reason. Where you at? What you got me here for? I'm looking for that light. I'm looking for vindication. I'm looking for confirmation that God's there with me. And I know He's there. Oh, my. See, we're a blessed group. We know too much. We can see God in everything. I can see God in nature. I can see God in prayers. I can see God in my job. I can see God when I'm driving. I can see God. I see God everywhere I look. I see Him everywhere I look. I see God's blessing everywhere. See, there are cynics that go out there and they see the negative of everything. Oh, wish the clouds would go away. Bunch of Eeyores. See, the church world is a bunch of Eeyores. They are. You know, that's even when Brother Branham said that kid saw all those Christians. And he's like, why are they so mule-faced? And he's like, those are the Christians. Yeah, they're all mule-faced. All gray. And they don't want to be hot or cold. They just want to be meek and humble, and it's fake. It's fake. It's a facade they put on. Just be who you are. If you're burning for the Lord, just burn for the Lord. If you want to get up a little bit, get up a little bit. You want to shake a little bit, shake a little bit. If you just want to clap, just clap. You don't got to serve God like I serve God. You don't got to praise God like I praise God. Because what's it going to have you doing is watching me. Okay, can we stand up now? Now stand up. If you want to stand up, just stand up. Amen. You got the freedom tonight in here. Now out there, you don't have that freedom. That's why you should enjoy when you come to the house of God. Because you got the freedom. We're giving you the grace to serve God how you want to serve Him. Oh, my, my, my. It's so peaceful in the arms of the Lord. That's how the song goes. He's comforted me from everything. I come in here with the opportunity. And you know what? That's just a lie from the devil to be, okay, well, I want to stand up, but nobody else is. I'll just wait till somebody else stands up, and then I'll stand up. It's a lie. Somebody's got to be first. Won't you just step out on the Word of God? Maybe you be the only one standing up. Why do you need everybody else anyway? Maybe they don't hear the song like you hear the song. Maybe, see, when I sing God has smiled on me, I know what it's done. See, when I can sing that song every service and it means something to me. I remember being a kid, coming to church sometimes at night, just sneaking in here, playing my trumpet, just playing that song, knowing I was having a rough time. And God got me through. So when I sing that song, I'm looking at it saying, God has smiled, truly smiled on me. I see where He brought me from to where I am today. That's why I can sing that song. Maybe it don't mean nothing to you. That's fine. Get to the song that does. But I'm not going to let you hold me back. If I want to sing that song every service, I'm going to get up here and sing it every service. I got too many examples of it. I've seen Sister Alice get up and sing the same song because it meant something to her. Now, if she goes on and on, gets a little older in age, let her sing two verses and maybe the chorus, and not the chorus 100 times. Have her sit down so somebody else can get some time. If I get up here and sing, God has smiled on me every time, and you got another song, just get me out of the way. Let me get to the chorus, and you go ahead and have it now. But let me get my time in. Right, because this is the only time I can do it. Amen. This is the only time I can praise God freely and just say, thank you, Lord, for what you've already given me. Amen. Oh, my, my, my. God's grace is sufficient. Oh, he's been too good to this bride. Amen. I mean, you think about all the things we know, all the things we've been able to see, all the types that we're able to go through. I mean, the scriptures that we can just rattle off. I mean, just rattle off, not trip all over them at all. There's people that trip over as it was in the days of Lot. They trip over that. There's people that trip over when God came to Abraham and he said, my Lord. They trip over there. Well, there was three people. And then not to Abraham. It was God. He saw God. He knew who the other people were. They were messengers. Go do your bidding. But he stayed and God supped with him. God sat down and ate with him. Ate and drank with him. They don't know how to do that. How did God eat and drink? How did he do this? Does God tell everybody everything? Yeah, there's a group that he does. There is a group. Matter of fact, he sat down with Abraham and said, shall I hide anything? Shall I hide anything? And he said to my friend, I got a revelation of who I am. I know I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. There ain't nothing that he's holding back from me. I got the checkbook. Matter of fact, Abraham had to ask God, Lord, if it be so many, would you please save them? Would it be this? Would you please save them? That's a friendship ask. But when it's the wife, I just wrote my name on the check and said, this person is okay. You're guaranteed. I'll see you there. Woo! That's a little different. I wasn't saying, can you? Will you? Hopefully. I said, guaranteed. Guaranteed. See you there. Guaranteed. See you there. See you there. Amen. I wasn't down it. And I'm living vicariously through Sister Mel on that one. I wasn't down there. When Brother Jeremiah said at the funeral, he looked at that whole group of people. He said, I'm taking you all with me. That's somebody that wasn't down there. He wasn't saying, Lord, if I get to that funeral and it be five people, will you save them? Lord, if I get there and it be 10 people, will you save them? He wasn't coming like that. That was a friendship ask. He said, you're coming with me. He used that scripture in the Bible and said, all that you bind, I'll bind. All that you loose, I'll loose. See, there's people, when you start having your traditional things, you start limiting the books that you can get to. You start limiting God. Because you got to take out the book of Revelation because you don't have a prophet, so you don't have the seals. You go in the book of Genesis and you're confused on the apple. So you got to get rid of that. Then you go over to Matthew, you don't know what God was doing there. Then you go over to Jesus saving those souls in prison. You don't know what to do with that. How was he in prison? Why was he in hell? Why did he have to go to hell? How did Jesus even go to hell? What was he doing there? Why was Jesus in hell? You start limiting on even that ability because that takes away a blessing that happens even when you're living. It says, even if you made your bed in hell, I'll still be with you, even in you. See, they start limiting where God can even go. You know what happens then? Then when they find themselves in a bad spot, you know what they do? Lord, you've forsaken me. You've left me. That's even what the children of Israel said. They got out there and said, you brought us out here to die. Because they forgot that God didn't forget about them. He heard the cries of his people. His people. His people. See, God is not trying to save everybody. God doesn't want everybody. He heard the cries of his people. And that's who got over into the promised land. But see, we're God's people. And we know that we've been saved by grace. It was nothing that we did, nothing that we worked up, nothing that we overstimulated. It's just been God's grace. We're stimulated by the revelation. See, the church world has it the other way around. They want to get you jumping around, and then they want to hopefully throw something in there. No, I want to be able to hear it. Don't have me yelling so I can't hear what you're saying. I want to know that you know what you're talking about. Amen. Let me hear the word of God, and then I'll be able to say, yeah, amen. That ain't nothing but the truth. See, the church world, they have so much garbage going on, they don't even want you to hear the word of God. They don't want the word of God. But that's all we want is the word of God. That's what I love about it. I even love that Brother Tony was preaching, and he said, my iPad's dying on this and dying on that. I was like, come on, brother, just preach. Don't even worry about it. We'll catch up on that iPad later. Just give me what you got. You've been preaching this message for years, brother. Let it just flow out through you. You're a friend of the bride. You're part of the bride. Just preach, brother. We want to hear what you got to say. Oh, we were enthused by that. We got turned on by that. Because we knew what God was doing. God saw him reading a little bit. And he was like, nah. Don't even worry about it. You're not dealing with a mixed congregation, Brother Tony. You're dealing with all believers. You don't got to hold your punches here, bro. Go ahead and give me the whole truth. You don't got to worry about referencing the quote, showing the paragraph. Just tell me the word and I'll believe it. Oh, because see, sometimes people go out and they got to preach to mixed congregation. And that's a little dicey. And I haven't navigated that quite well yet. But Pastor Moore and Brother Jeremiah, they got it. I hurt people's feelings sometimes because I don't realize. That's all right. I'm learning. It's not a mixed congregation tonight, so you're not allowed to get your feelings hurt. You know I'm trying to help you. But sometimes they go out there and you got to kind of, some people don't even know about Brother Branham, so you can't even mention him because they'll throw him off, which is just wisdom. I get it. But when Brother Tony is preaching, he's preaching to believers. You don't even got to quote scripture and verse to me. You can reference it. I'll know what you're talking about. You can paraphrase, and I'm jumping right on. I'm the living book. I know the author. I know what the intent was. I know what he was trying to say when he had to speak in symbol form. I know what he opened when he loosed those seals. See, I praise God that we got a revelation on all that. You're talking to a bride of believers now, a group of believers. And I love to use this quote 100 times, and I'll use it again. He said, what are you going to do when you get that group together that knows what it is? Then the rapture will go. That's all we're here for. That's the only thing on my plate. I can talk about grace. I can talk how it's unmerited favor. I can talk about the book of Revelations. I can talk about Noah. I can talk about the ark. I can talk about Moses. But my only job, my only job is the rapture. That's the ark that I'm building. That's my job. That's the only thing I'm supposed to do. I'll never get tired of that message. That's my only message. Until I get out of here, that's the only thing we got to preach. And if I came back bringing any other message, let me be a curse. See, I like to be able to say it like that because God told me that message. That you see, I even like how he even said it. At first he mentioned other people. You know, if an angel of this and that come back and bring another message, let them be a curse. But he said, even if I came back myself with another message, let me be a curse. I can say that same thing tonight. If I come back myself with another message, let me be a curse. Praise God. God bless you, Brother Jeremiah.
Thank God for his amazing grace.
Amen.
Thank God that he has revealed his word to us in such a way that we don't carry a bunch of creeds and dogmas. You know, I was thinking as he's preaching, you talk about Muslims or you talk about a lot of people that we've met and have treated us well or have touched us in the right way, however you want to word that, you know. There are people with creeds and dogmas that would have a hard time thinking a Muslim could go to heaven at all, you know. And not just Muslims, hard time thinking some Christians can even go to heaven, you know. And you know, we'll continue to die until we get out here of our thinking. But thank God we've had so much word preached to us that we can walk out of there and we're not looking for a code of rules altogether or some creed or dogma. We recognize God's given grace to me, and as freely as I've received, I want to be able to give that.
Amen.
I always say one of my favorite quotes of Brother Branham says, I'd rather be found guilty of trying to get somebody saved than guilty of trying to stop somebody from getting somebody saved. I didn't do anything to earn this.
No.
It was his amazing grace that he found me, that he revealed himself to me. Yes, I chose it. I wanted it.
Yeah.
But that's really where it ended, if I'm being honest with you. Because he took over, and I have a new nature, but it's his amazing grace. And so I thank God that we are able to go out there and look and be able to give that grace.
Amen.
Yeah, we give truth too.
Oh, yeah.
Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Right.
There's sometimes the story ain't the same for everybody.
Right.
Sometimes there really are some unbelievers. Sometimes there really are people that are the opposite of that story. And it's not that I wish it. I'm like Jesus. I really wish nobody would be perished or go to hell. Some people just can't help but go there. But thank God for his amazing grace. And, you know, I always talk about the woman at the well. The story of Noah is another one of my favorite stories in the Bible because I love Genesis 6 and the 8th verse. But Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. And just like Brother Branham said, put your name in Isaiah 53, put your name right there. Because there's people, Muslims, you know, Brother Branham would even tell you this. Majority of Muslims, I don't want to hurt your feelings, maybe I'll talk about it. Majority of Muslims live better than I live. Just to be real honest with you. If you're talking about a code of rules, you're not going to outlive too many Muslims. And there's people in this church that live better than me. There's people in the message, but Jeremiah found grace in the sight of the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, there, you know, and the other thing about Noah, he wasn't necessarily the smartest. He wasn't the most popular. He wasn't with the scientists that said we've never seen rain. But Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord.
Amen.
And I thank the Heavenly Father that you have hid it from the wise and the prudent and revealed it unto babes such as unlearn. And I put my name right there. I have found grace in the sight of the Lord. Thank God for that. Because without it, we would all be lost. So I enjoyed that a lot, Brother James. Appreciate your ministry so much. I believe I was a little late. I had something at work, but I think they put a few pictures up to show that Brother Moore and Brother Doug got to Philippines safely, so we're thankful for that. They had sent a message today. The first service is April 6th, which is tomorrow for us, but they're 12 hours ahead, so they're technically already there. They should be having their first service, and they have internet, so barring something going wrong, they should be able to post those services. And so we'll be on a lookout tomorrow. I'll be on a lookout, but if Praveen or somebody sees that it's out there before I do, text me, because what we're going to do is when we see it, we're going to send a notification to you all so that people can get out there and see us. That's our goal. But be looking for it, and if you can't find it, we'll try to send you a note how to find it and help you out some too. But looking forward to it, because Lord willing, if it all goes well, I'd like to Sunday night, maybe not the whole service, but maybe 20 minutes or something, play a little bit of one of the services right here on the screen and enjoy it together and get to see it. So I hope to be able to do that. So that's, Lord willing, that's what we're going to do Sunday night a little bit and help me not have to answer so many questions. But God knows what he wants, but we'll have a good time. So with that said, come on, musicians. Thank God for his amazing grace. That's why even Brother Branham, who is another person I would have to say probably lived better than me, he said his song would be Amazing Grace. There's not a man in shoe leather that didn't need that amazing grace, because no man was worthy to open that book, but the Lamb set forward, and he paid that price. So let's sing Amazing Grace. Page 2 in the Only Believe book.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost,
dangerous. Thus far.